What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 344, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing, with me, of course, is Ryan, who's all jumbled trying to figure out his computer.
Jumbled? What do you mean? I'm not having any issues.
Well, at least not yet. You're having
when? Some issues. When?
So I don't know. I did have some slight computer issues today, and I'm really hoping it was just a Windows 11 problem. My mouse.
You're on that 11 goodness. I forget that.
Yeah. So my mouse, which is brand new, this is the Death Adder V3 Pro from Razer. Mm-hmm. Like brand new. I mean, you literally just reviewed it maybe a month ago, so there's nothing wrong with it, hopefully. Like, you know, when you move your mouse around, like say like in a circle, it was so jaggedy and like jumping around today, and I couldn't, and I was like, whatever. And then I restarted and it was fine. So I think it was just a Windows issue. I'm hoping it's, you know, like on my old PC before I built this new system, I had the dreaded USB resetting issue. So hopefully I'm not already having USB issues.
I had that issue, that USB disconnect, reconnect issue with this new build, right? And the only thing different was the CPU and the BIOS update. And I don't want to jinx anything, right? But I haven't had that in a while, so it just kind of worked itself out.
As Ryan's like feed just drops out.
Yeah, it just drops, and yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, no other, at least hopefully not yet, no other big computer issues here. Now, for everybody who is following along on the live stream, or if you are listening later and you want to follow along to everything that we're going to be talking about this week, you can go ahead and do that with our show notes. It's all on the website. You can see everything that we're going to be talking about, all the reviews and all of the news this week. And let's just jump right into it. I took a look at a really cool keyboard. I would say it's really cool if you're into Lord of the Rings. Are you a big Lord of the Rings? Were you a big Lord of the Rings guy?
I mean, I wouldn't call myself like a big Lord of the Rings like super fan or anything. I enjoy them. Okay. And committing to sit down to three-hour movies is, you know, a decent commitment, but it's always worth it.
The movies were good. There's the new show. What streaming service?
Rings of Power on Amazon.
On Amazon, okay. I haven't watched it. Have you watched any of it?
I have not. Nope.
Okay. Yeah, me neither. I think the movies came out so long ago, you're not really like into it as much as maybe something else, right?
You know. Yeah. I just haven't had a chance to check in on it and check it out.
Yeah, me neither. I haven't really watched much of any TV lately, but Drop, who makes their own custom keyboards, they make their own custom switches. They do a lot of cool stuff, a lot of cool products, and they have this is the first officially licensed Lord of the Rings keyboard. So you're not going to find a Lord of the Rings keyboard anywhere else. Last year they officially licensed a keycap set, which is very similar to this one that you actually see on the keyboard. So now they have a fully fledged keyboard. So it's all, you don't have to buy maybe a base keyboard and get the custom keycap set. You have everything's all together, all built for you, which I like because I'm not a keyboard builder at this point, at least not yet. So this is a 10 keyless keyboard. It is based off of Drop's own Enter keyboard, that's ENTR, which is their 10 keyless mechanical keyboard. They have upgraded this keyboard quite a lot, obviously with colors and with the custom keycap set. And then under the hood, you have their Holy Panda X switches, which are extremely popular, and they have their Phantom stabilizers as well. So it's not like you're getting just the Enter keyboard with maybe a color change. You are getting a bunch of different upgrades under the hood as well. It comes with just a normal kind of white USB cable, but then you get some extra things, some extra keycaps and things like that if you want to change those out. And the keyboard itself, I have to say, this is probably the most different looking keyboard that I've ever reviewed. I don't think I've ever reviewed a green keyboard. So this is the elfish version of the keyboard. There's also a dwarvish version. The elfish, of course, is for the elves.
For the elves.
If you're, you know, in the realm of Lord of the Rings, the keycap set itself does have like Lord of the Rings text on it that is as true to the letters as it can be. The script is as true to the actual real letters in the English alphabet as it could be. So if you are like a super fan, this is going to be good. It's not just random scribbles, right? That look like something that would be on Lord of the Rings. It's again, it's true to the actual script in the Lord of the Rings realm. There's some custom art here on the side here. And then you have some other things like, you know, like this sword and tree down here and a ring down here. Don't worry though, if you don't read the script, obviously we have smaller legends in the bottom corner here. So like me, when I first saw this keyboard, I was like, I'm not sure if I can type on this thing.
It's gonna be rough.
So again, 10 keyless keyboard. Here you can see that art on the side. And I do really like that they were able to really match the keycaps, the green with the top plate here. A lot of times they just don't get it. And it's a very, very close match, which I do like. The keycaps themselves are an MT3 profile. And if you're not familiar with MT3, it's a very, very tall profile keycap. It's very tall. I think most people, if you're using a gaming keyboard, you typically use a Cherry profile or you use an OEM profile. Mm-hmm. That's how the keycaps are designed. And this is an MT3 profile, which I wasn't the biggest fan of. It's very tall. And then on the actual keys themselves, you have this sort of divot. It's not just a flat kind of indent that you see in a lot of other keyboards. It's really like a divot and your finger kind of sits in there. And again, it's very tall as well. It takes a while to get used to. Let's just say that. It takes a long while to get used to. Under the hood, of course, we do have the Holy Panda X switches. These are built by Gateron for drop specifically. They're a tactile switch. They do feel really, really good. They're one of, I believe, drop's most popular switches. And a lot went into building these switches. You can go on their website and kind of learn of how these were kind of conjured up and built, but they are really, really good switches. Now I'm not the, while again, this is aluminum, right? It's aluminum back. You can't get aluminum. You can't make brushed aluminum in the same color as the top plate. So you have this mixed bottom, which is green, and it does have the Lord of the Rings logo on it, but it's
they not. Couldn't anodize it in the same color?
I think this is the color. Somehow? You can't. I don't think. So that's the color that you get. But it is, again, it is an aluminum chassis on the bottom, which has its pros and cons, which I will get into. But overall, the looks of the keyboard, I mean, this is like a showpiece. Again, if you are into Lord of the Rings, this should have you salivating because it is a really unique and cool looking keyboard, I would say. And like I said, there's no real... I wouldn't say there. I mean, there's just white LED lighting on the keyboard. You're really not going to see it. So this is a picture of the keyboard during the day, and you can't see the lights on.
Wow.
Yeah, with the lights on, because you really can't see it because the keycaps aren't shine through or anything like that.
Pass through or anything.
Yeah. So that's it at nighttime, so you can see through. But again, you're not lighting up your legends or anything like that because there's no see through. It's just, you know, around the keys itself. We do have a audio sample of typing on the keyboard. So if you guys want to hear that, you want to hear what the switches sound like, you can definitely go ahead and do that. Now, my typing experience or just usage of this keyboard wasn't what I expected. One, when you look at this keyboard, your eyes, so yeah, you know, I would say I'm decently proficient typer, but every once in a while you kind of have to look down and see where you're typing. And when you initially look down on this keyboard, your eyes are drawn to the larger legends. It takes a while to really train your mind to look at the smaller legends, so it really throws you off. And almost at times it almost, like, I wouldn't say it gives you a headache, but it just, it's hard. It's not a natural thing to look for the smaller legend compared to the bigger legend. So that was a bit difficult. Secondly, the MT3 profile, I am not a fan of. It's too tall. The keys feel like they're too close together. I was mashing keys at when I was doing it, and it took a while to get used to the profile. And I definitely prefer, again, Cherry profile or an OEM profile compared to the MT3 profile.
Yeah, they're pretty small. That profile is pretty small on the top of the key itself.
Yeah, the top of the key itself.
They taper in quite a bit.
Yeah, if I can...
I like the look of them, like on a lot of keyboards, and I think it looks good on this, but like you said, it does take, you know, some work to get used to.
Yeah, just some to of those give alternate you guys key an profiles. Idea. Let's bring this up here. This is from Reddit. So they don't even have the MT3 on this on Reddit. But here's a, can I make this? Oh, that's perfect. Okay. So here is keyboard key profiles. And as I said, most of the keyboards that you'll get, most gaming keyboards, will be Cherry or OEM. Typically, for the most part, will be Cherry or OEM. And you can kind of see how they differ a little bit. SA is the tallest, and MT3 is very, very close to SA. So you can see how tall these keycaps are compared to, again, something like an OEM or a Cherry. So it is very difficult to, you know, get used to, I would say. You know what I mean? But yeah, I think, like I said, beyond those things, I think the keyboard is very cool. And I do think that if you are a Lord of the Rings fan and you are a fan of mechanical keyboards, this is definitely something that's you have your eye on. You know what I mean? I do feel like the Holy Panda switches in this Enter kind of casing on the keyboard, they do bottom out, and there's not a ton of padding, and there are better mechanical, like pre-built mechanical keyboards that I would say are better, that sound better, or that don't have, you don't bottom out as much because there's more padding, I guess, on the keyboard itself. So something to consider. Again, I think it is really cool. There's just better pre-builts out there. As far as the overall typing experience, you're not going to find another Lord of the Rings pre-built because, again, this is the only licensed keyboard that you are going to find. So it's definitely something to consider. The keyboard's on sale right now for $149. It's normally $199.
Pretty good deal.
Yeah, one thing I did mention, too, is that the switches are soldered onto the keyboard, so you can't change the switches down the line if you want to. So, yeah. If you aren't into Lord of the Rings, but you may like this keyboard, you may like the way it looks, the normal Enter keyboard from Drop, I believe, it's on sale for $79. It's normally $99. And it comes with just normal Gateron switches, I believe normal keycaps as well. But if you were looking for something that you might want to customize yourself, that's an option too. So you have that. So check it out. Check out the review. Just something really cool, though. It's something that, like, you want to have like a wall of like keyboards, and this would be like on that wall because it's very unique and very cool. And then we talked about it, this desk here that I've been using for what, a week now? 2 weeks?
I think like 2 weeks now.
Yeah, 2 weeks now. This desk was sent to me from FlexiSpot, and I finally got the review done on it. And this is their Pro Plus. This is basically, I believe this is their highest end, as far as the frame goes, their highest end desk. And this is a sit-stand desk, so I can stand. I can sit, I can adjust it. It has motors, so it goes up and down. So it's one of those desks that you've seen for years, and we've been talking about it for a while. You know, it's so popular now because everybody was, you know, had to work from home. Now, all, you know, everybody wants one of these desks, but I've been a proponent of these desks for a very long time because I sit all day, and sitting all day is not great for your body. Let's just say that.
No.
So the ability to stand, you know, and then sit and, you know, just have the ability to do that is really great. And, you know, these desks are really good because they, you know, they ship directly to you. The assembly is pretty easy. And like I said, I really like this desk so far. So this is, again, this is their Pro Plus, which is their E7. And then you can go on their website and easily configure the type of tabletop that you want. They, in the E7, they offer chipboard, bamboo, fiberboard, solid wood, or solid wood texture, and then solid wood. And then within each one of those options, there's different sizes and shapes, sort of shapes available. So I have like a curved desk. You know, some of them have different, like, again, different shapes and sizes that will come up when you choose those. You can also choose to not have a tabletop. So you can actually just buy the frame and then say, you know, somebody who cut, you know, has these great piece slabs of wood, you know, you could mount those if you want, which is a really great option too. Cause I know a lot of people really want, I really want one of those. I think we talked like about the
rough,
this before.
Rough edge or rough.
Yeah. Like a live edge. It's not acrylic. What is that called when they put the stuff on?
Yeah, it's like the colored acrylic. Yeah, it's acrylic.
It's not acrylic.
Or resin, though. Resin.
Yeah, like live edge resin table. And I looked up for like this size. It's like $5,000. So I was like, I'll pass on that one.
Never mind.
Yeah, it's very expensive. It's super cool. But yeah, if you know somebody who does something like that, or you have your own tabletop from a previous table, you can just get the frame if you want to. So the frame starts at $579.99. And I got the curved 72 inches by 30 inches bamboo tabletop. So that brought the total to $849.99. They always run sales too, so definitely keep that in mind. They did have a Black Friday sale where you got like hundreds, I think a couple hundred dollars off or something like that. So they always run sales. Keep that in mind. When your tabletop or your desk comes, the tabletop will come in one box. And then the your motors and everything else and your frame will come in another box. And these are especially the box with the with your motors and the frame.
It's heavy.
It's very heavy. I feel really bad because I live on the third floor. I feel really bad for the guy who brought this up. But I do have to say, after going up three flights of stairs, like the tabletop came. No, it was packed very well. So you can see I kind of have some of the stuff pulled off. But all the corners are very well protected, so you really shouldn't have to worry. We all know there are bad delivery guys, and even if they do slam it down, you shouldn't really have any issues. Again, the tabletop came out without any scratches, which is obviously a good thing. Now, putting this together might seem daunting. This will be my fourth desk like this to put together, so I kind of know, you know, how everything goes together. But basically, you flip the tabletop upside down, and then you're going to go ahead and install the frame on the bottom of it, sort of, you know, sort of like this. It's very, very easy. The instructions with this were very easy to follow. And you have everything together, and then you flip it over, and you can flip a table this size or a desk this size over by yourself. I would not recommend it. I did it, but just be very careful. That's all I have.
Yeah, this one's smaller than or larger than the one that I did from them. But yeah, it's some work for sure.
And you always want to make sure. So you want to flip it from the front. So the curve is on the front and you can see the controller there, because if you flip it the other way, you'll break the controller. So you always want to make sure whatever side the controller's on, you want to lift it from that side, and also make sure you have a lot of clearance when it comes to your walls and things like that, because again, this frame is very heavy and it will damage your walls if you bump it or anything like that, so keep that in mind. But like I said, I flipped it over by myself. There's a video of it, which will be in the upcoming video, so you can see me doing that and the time lapse of the build and all that. It's all on there. But yeah, so there's a desk completely done. And then we'll go to the next page and you'll see what my setup looks like. And it is just nice and clean.
Oh, chef's kiss.
Yeah. My whole thing with this is that, one, I wanted to simplify my setup. I had a lot of other things on the desk and it just was cluttered. And with this, again, it's very simple. I have my speakers, I have my audio interface, phone charger, and my PC, and of course my monitor. And again, this is a 49-inch super ultra-wide. So for those, you know, wondering, you can fit your tower on your desk with a 49-inch ultra-wide in the 70, I believe, what is it, 72 by 30, right? The 72-inch. They do offer this exact same bamboo top in a 78 if you want it to be even wider. Wow. But yeah, it looks awesome. Yeah, the monitor is a Biotech 49-inch. We have the review on the website. If you just go under reviews, I'll just bring it up real quick. Where is it?
I've been really happy with my Biotech as well. That's my main monitor.
Yeah, so this
they're usually a little more affordable.
Yeah, this is the SUW49DA, 49-inch ultra wide. It's super great for being productive, I would say. Here I have, you know, I have the live stream here. I have what I'm projecting to you guys right here, and then over here there's nothing. But when I'm working, it works out really well. But back to the desk. One, it does have pre-cut holes in it for routing your cables. I really wish it would have came with or had the option to add on like the covers or grommets that you see. You can buy those pretty cheap on Amazon, but even if the desk didn't come with them, it would have been nice to have the option to have them as an add-on, right? Maybe 10, 15 bucks, whatever, that I could buy directly through, that they don't have that option. So you do get some cable routing holes, which is nice. I also do think I did a pretty good job of cable management. Here you can see absolutely no cables. Here's what the underside does look like, and then the actual real underside. I bought this this black kind of box thing. It's from Steelcase. I'll talk about it more because this isn't part of the review, but I'll talk about it in the upcoming video. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it, but it does help out with cable management and all of that. But I feel pretty good about my cable management. Really only a single cable coming down, which is the power cable for my power strip that is under here. So the desk itself, like I said, the bamboo, my first standing desk was a bamboo one, and I went from that to the white one that I had, and I liked the white for a while, but it was just so plain. The bamboo just looks so nice, and the contrast between, you know, what's on my desk and the bamboo, I really, really like the bamboo. So you have that. And then the controller, super easy to use. I don't know if this was the same one that was on the one that you reviewed, Ryan, but
but it's very similar setups.
Yeah, so it has up and down arrows, so you can easily adjust the desk, no problem. And then there are four settings that you can save different heights. There's a one and a two, and then there's one that's a little guy that's standing and one that's sitting. So you can set those and maybe set these other ones to other heights that you may want. There's also a USB port on the side, a USB-A, and it supports quick charge 3.0. So nice little add on there. I'm not really using it because I have other USB stuff under my desk that I have set up, but just a nice little add on if you want, you know, for charging a phone or something like that, that you can go ahead and use. And then of course there is a little LCD that shows the exact height that you are at whenever you're doing that. Now, as far as operation, this desk easily goes up and down, no problem. It's very sturdy as well. That's the biggest thing when it comes to standing desks. If they're kind of wobbly, that's never good. It's never comfortable to be typing and things are, you know, moving all over the place. Yep. And then it's not, so I don't know if yours did this as well, but when you have a saved height, in the controller, it will go up or down to that height. And in the last, you know, little bit, it kind of slows down so it doesn't jerk your components. It would just, you know, sometimes we install things really fast and we don't maybe secure something you know, properly. And then that little jerk can cause that thing to fall over. Or even, you know, sometimes if it's a really bad jerk, it could, you know, I have a drink here, like it would make this, you know, fall over or something top like over. That. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's nice that it goes, you know, it does that. Like I said, I really like this. One thing that's really, really, really nice about this is that the frame itself will support up to 355 pounds, which is a lot. Every other desk that I've reviewed in the past has been around 200, 225. So 355 pounds that it will support. And that's not that it will effectively move up and down. That's not what you can actually put on the desk per se. That's what the desk will move up and down. Right. So that's a lot. So that's, you know, again, I have a 49-inch monitor. I have my full PC. I could have a really big PC like Ryan has with all the water cooling. Like it would be really no problem.
Capable of doing all that. Yeah.
So that's why this is their Pro Plus. It's again a very it's made for a lot of gear. So you can put a lot of stuff on this setup. And you know, you can see here's me sitting. There's me standing. Very easy, like I said, super easy to use. No big, no issues at all. And again, I really like the bamboo top as well. Just everything goes together. Really nice with this. They do back this with a 15-year warranty too. So it's something. Nice. Yeah. Yeah. So again, this is their highest end desk. So they are going to back it up. And again, it can hold, like it's, out of all the, like I said, this is the fourth sit stand desk that I've reviewed, and it's the most weight capacity as well. So that's something that's, again, really, really good. Because you just, you know, as you load things up, you get more gear, you want your desk to be able to move up and down. And again, with crazy setups, crazy water cooling setups, you can get that weight, you know, you can have a system, especially if you have a really big case. I mean, just your case alone can weigh 50, add hardware, it's another 30, 40, you know, and then multi-monitors, monitor arms. I have the camera, I have the ring light up there. I have the mic. I mean, you add all these things and it just, it can get up there. So like I said, I really like this desk. And again, if you're not, you don't have to get this exact same desk. You know, let's.
Yeah, they offer so much customization on their site.
Yeah,
I know that was one thing I liked when I did the.
Yeah. So even if you're getting the same frame, like I said, $40 off. There you go. You know, you can pick the different types of tabletops. And again, I really like the bamboo, like I said. And again, you can go from as low as 48 inches wide or long to up to 78, which is huge. I mean, 78 is bigger than this one, and this one's pretty big.
Quite large.
Yeah. So and there's a lot of other customization things too. Like you can get wheels for the table. You can get, what is this? Like a bike.
Yeah. It's like a pedal, a cycle seat.
Yeah. They have chairs, they have monitor arms that you can get. I mean, they're more or less a one-stop shop for everything for your desk, right? You can get drawers that will fit these desks. And I believe if you do buy the drawer, the tabletop will have the cutout, like the holes. Pre-drilled for you for these, which is really nice too. Power options, cable management option. Like there's a ton of stuff that you can do when you configure it, which is, you know, really awesome. And then they have like already kind of pre-set up desks. You know, they have, again, E7 is the best one, but they have an E5. Oh, they have an E8. Oh, it's oval. That's interesting. But yeah, like I said, a lot of customization. If you're looking for a standing desk, I think FlexiSpot is it's a solid choice. And there's a lot that you can really choose from and kind of customize it how you want, which is a good thing, I think. So we have a lot of people in the house, which I haven't been looking at the chat. I'm doing it again, Ryan. I'm not being a good
that's all right.
Good live streamer.
I've been chatting with them a little.
Yeah, so you have old man in the house. He was asking about the monitor. We have Nelson in the house as well. And thank you for the compliment on the setup. It's going to get a little bit better over time. I do like how I have it set up now, but it is going to get better over time. And then we have Jim, of course. Jim was on last week. Jim from Home Gadget Geeks is here as well. Good to see you here, Jim. But yeah, we'll move on from that to, of course, Case Mod Friday. This build is, I love the lines. I just think lines. This is the first thing that comes to mind when I see this build is lines. So this one is from Declassified Systems. Mark over there does really great work. I follow him on Facebook and he's always doing builds. And this one's called Blue Ice, and you can kind of see why. It's done in that distro case we saw a couple years ago at CES.
Yep. That whole backside.
Yeah, the whole backside is a res and a distro plate. And then it's basically like a Core P5.
I think so, yeah. It's very similar.
Or whatever they're, whatever. But here's like the finish thing. And just these lines are so cool.
The only thing I think would maybe look a little better is if those like outer bends, I don't know, were wider. Like, I don't like the same tightness of the bends. I wish they would get a little wider as they were further out.
Gotcha.
But I mean, it's not like terrible looking by any means. It's a pretty sweet build. I think I'd be curious to see what that looked like.
Yeah. It's a really, I think, you know me, I like the lines, and what else do I
frosted
like?
On tubes. Yeah, yep, frosted tubes.
Oh, that's my thing when it comes to these water cooling builds, but such a really awesome build. This thing would look so sweet sitting on my desk. Yeah. I say that as I just built a new system, but
yeah,
it's,
looks like a borrow video card, block, I think.
Yeah. It's
cool.
Yeah, it looks really, really nice. It's hard to see. There's
I wonder how much that thing weighs, right?
I mean, that's a good at least 100 pounds.
Whole back. Yeah.
Yeah, with all the liquid.
Liquid on the back. Yep.
Yeah, things. Hopefully we get to see some of these builds at CES too. I'm excited for that. To see all these builds. But yeah, really awesome build. Again from Mark over at Declassified Systems. Go ahead and check that out. And that brings us to news. And Radeon RX 7900 series reviews dropped this week. For those not familiar, Radeon's new graphics cards, we have the Radeon RX 7900 XT, which is $899. And then a step up from that is the Radeon RX 7900 XTX. That is $1,000. First thing I have to say is the reference cards are very small if you compare them to a 4080 and a 4090. So a lot smaller. And again, as we talked about, they are using 8-pin PCI Express power connectors, not the 16-pin connector that has had some issues and that we've talked about extensively on this podcast. Now, when it comes to performance, I have my notes here. So we'll talk about first performance of the 7900 XTX, and we'll talk about how much better is it than the previous generation. So the previous generation, when it comes to Radeon cards, it's about 47% faster than the RX 6900 XT, 58% faster than the RX 6800 XT, and about 19% faster than NVIDIA's RTX 3090 Ti. So much better improvement over the previous generation, right?
Yep.
Which you like to see. And you like to see those big numbers over its own previous generation, right? You know, sometimes in the past it was, you know, we're going to get 25% more, maybe.
Right.
But seeing 47 and 57% over the previous generation of their own card is really good. Now, the big thing that I think people really want to know is how does it perform against RTX 4080 and RTX 4090. Now, for the RTX 4080, it's anywhere from 2 to 4% faster, but I think that all the reviews I read, there's a lot of disparity in those numbers, right? In some titles, when it comes to gaming, it can be 20% faster. In some titles, it can be 20% slower. There's a lot of optimization that needs done when it comes to this car, drivers as well.
Well, there's a lot of, you know, differences in test systems as well. Like I saw some people using a 5800X 3D, folks using 7000 series AMD processors, some folks using Intel. So yeah, there's all sorts of combinations of hardware that are going to result in different, you know, performance numbers.
Yeah, for sure.
As long as like a source is using the same setup across their testing, their own testing, I think that's the important piece, which pretty much everybody does. But then you can look across multiple, you know, outlets to see, hey, they tested with this type of setup, here's their results. Other folks tested with this.
But I have seen, and I saw it on Twitter today, Nadia at a, I forget word.
Hardware Unboxed.
She was saying that in specific titles, her card would be at a certain frequency, and then in other titles it would be a completely different frequency. Like her game clock was just not this, it was not consistent across all games, which was weird. And again, it was like a 20% FPS increase. So there's a lot of issues. I wouldn't call them issues. There's a lot of disparity between certain titles. And again, we do know certain games are better optimized for NVIDIA. Certain games are better optimized for, you know, for AMD. But again, I think overall you're going to see probably around a 5 to 10% better performance from the XTX over the RTX 4080. So again, the XTX is a $1,000 card. The 4080 is a $1,200 card. Are you going to go the AMD route, save $200 for, like I said, your best bet, at least right now, without any more newer drivers or anything, you know, it's going to be 10% better performance. So would you pay $200 less to go Team Red, or would you stick with NVIDIA?
I need to look at the charts a little closer, but if I wasn't going up to like a 4K resolution, right? If I was keeping my monitor, right? Like that's something I'd have to keep into consideration. Like I'm going to stay at 1440, 144 hertz monitor, right? Mm-hmm. Look and see what some of those reviews look like. But I think I would actually maybe steer towards the AMD side of things if I was willing to spend that price point.
Yeah. Okay. Now the one thing that this card, there are actually two, I wouldn't call them issues. Maybe the second one. The first one is that the RTX 4080, their ray tracing performance is better. So if you are doing ray tracing, the RTX 4080 will have better performance. That's something that I've seen across a bunch of reviews. So when it comes to ray tracing, NVIDIA still is better. You're going to get better performance, I guess, in this segment, right? Because AMD, again, doesn't have anything better than this. So you're going to get better ray tracing performance out of an NVIDIA card. So does that sway your decision at all?
No.
Okay. The second thing, which could be an issue, is idle power states if you have multiple monitors connected. And I saw this in a bunch of reviews, is that, you know, the card would pull anywhere from 80, just the card itself would pull anywhere from 80 to 100 watts with multiple monitors connected with nothing going on. So this is just like your computer sitting in Windows with nothing on, and the card is pulling 100 watts compared to RTX 40 series, which is anywhere from 20 to 30 watts. So that, again, we don't
I feel know like that's something they're going to fix. Like, I really hope that's a driver issue. Maybe they didn't realize it. I don't know.
Yeah. So hopefully that's something
they tested that.
As of right now, we'll call that a hopefully something that can be fixed, right? Because that's a lot of power to be for when your GPU really isn't doing much. I mean, that's a lot of power. So those are the things. And then if you compare it to the RTX 4090, it's the RTX 4090 is 22% faster. And again, this card at its price point really isn't meant to compete with the 4090. This 4090 is a $1,600 card, you know, $600. That's not, you're not. And not then the
apples to apples comparison.
Yeah. The RX 7900 XT, which is 100% or not 100%, $100 cheaper. It's about 16% slower at 4K resolutions. And then that number will get a little bit lower as you go down in the resolutions. And that makes you wonder. So we've talked about NVIDIA and especially their RTX 4080, how it's expensive. You know, should this 7900 XT even be called a 7900 XT based on its performance and its price? Are they just forcing people to pay the extra $100 gets you, like I said, 16% better performance?
That seems all right to me, like that price point, but drop it. It's a feel bad. I think we talked about this earlier. You know, it was like, if I'm already spending the $899, I'm going to spend the $999.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what I think
it feels okay going up, but not down.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Because again, NVIDIA priced their two cards out, the 4090 is $1,600. The 4080 is $1,200, much bigger gap.
Yes.
So yeah, it's just weird. And again, it's not as confusing as some things that we've seen, but 7900 XT, you just add another X on the end. That's the difference. A new consumer, somebody who's new to this space, who's new to building their own PC, they go in the store, they see it, I'll get the cheaper one. It's the same thing. They might not know it's the same. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm still not like it is again, first time buyer, confusing, I would say. So that's basically what I've seen. Is there anything else that you've seen in reviews or just about the cards specifically that?
No. I mean, I think for the most part, what I saw, everybody was decently, you know, impressed by the card's performance. Like you mentioned, some of the power issues, that was kind of what I had seen, was that it, you know, had that high power usage when it was just essentially sitting idle. I was happy to see the results that it put up, definitely.
Yeah, I think
it definitely has me considering, like, okay, do I want to go the AMD route or, you know, NVIDIA when I upgrade my video card?
Yeah, I don't think I do like the biggest thing is the price, right? They've definitely disrupted the RTX 4080 for sure.
Definitely.
And they have a lot of things going for them with this card. Again, just like in general, smaller card, you know, you may not have to, like, a lot of people buy in the 4090 and even sometimes the 4080, like, they have to buy a new case because it won't fit. Or something like that, or people who want to do a small form factor build, like, those are, for the most part, those are
not going to be
able to do those with those type of cards. So you don't have that issue. Again, 8-pin power connections, you don't have the issue with the 16-pin, like, yeah. I said, price, and like I said, relatively good overall performance comparative to the RTX 4080, and again, or comparing it to something like a 3090 Ti, you know what I mean?
I was also reading, you know, like, folks were interested to get these liquid cooled as well because they were thinking they would have quite a bit of additional headroom on overclocking with some better cooling, you know, so they were thinking that might be some improvements they'd see as well. So I'm interested to see, you know, some later on results, right? Once people get those into their hands and get them liquid cooled, see how much further you can push these, because it may just add more value to that price point.
Yeah, for sure. Would definitely like to see that type of performance and that type of testing. And like we always say, when it comes to new especially new graphics cards, wait till you see some reviews, kind of see. And again, with AMD, the drivers are a little bit slower coming out. They still are. They're a lot better than what they used to be, but you still are going to want to wait a little bit to, you know, again, we talked about the power issue and some other things that can be fixed in upcoming driver updates. So you may want to wait if you're looking to purchase something now. Just if you're kind of on the fence, wait a little bit and see if they kind of fix some of these issues that are, you know, kind of popping up right now. Now, all of the new cards basically have been announced. We talked about the Asrock Aqua card. The Sapphire cards look pretty cool. The Red Devils. I don't know if you saw any card that really stuck out to you.
You see a Red Devil image that had like a really cool backplate.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a two-layered backplate almost, it looked like.
Yeah, they're going to be... We don't have it in the show notes, but we did do an article on it. They're actually going to be selling different backplates for their cards. Okay. So there's going to be like a stock backplate.
I just saw pictures. I didn't read anything about them, so... Cool. Yeah. No, that's probably my favorite one.
Nice.
One that I was most interested in. Also, I had said... we were talking about Nada, and I... said she worked at Hardware Unboxed. It's actually Tech Testers. Anyhow, not that it, I just want to correct myself. So.
I always forget because I just see her on Twitter and I talk back and forth that I'm always like, I always forget where people work. It's always this thing, like, especially when we go to CES, you'll be at an event and you'll see somebody you know and you're like, hey, what's up? And then you have to like look at their badge. Like, I always hope
people to remember what site.
Yeah, to like remember what site they work for. Yeah, I'm like that guy. I either forget your name. Or I forget where you like, you know, something about you. I'm not good at those things. So yeah. From there, we'll go over to the NVIDIA side. First, we have full specs, which we already basically knew, of the RTX 4070 Ti. So the specs come leaked from PNY. It's basically the RTX 4080, the 12 gig, nothing has changed, you know, so it is going to be a complete just rebrand of that. So we have core clocks, 2310 megahertz core clock, 2610 megahertz boost clock, again, 12 gigabytes GDDR6X, 7680 CUDA cores. That's what the RTX 4080 12 gig was. So yeah, kind of expected that, right?
Yep.
Didn't expect much of anything to change, but this just confirms it. So we have all that and some pictures of the PNY cards. If you guys
seeing that
are
smaller board compared to the cooler there, it makes me like wish we had mini versions of cards again. I think the last time we got mini versions was like the 9
look how series, big this
right?
Is.
Like, yeah. That's enormous.
Yeah, it's a lot of heat.
Compared to the card.
Right? Yeah, compared to the card. And I was like, I don't know if it was on Reddit or on Twitter, I forget. But I think the reason you are seeing, at least people were saying, like, especially the 4090s, you are seeing these massive cooling because the cards were initially supposed to have higher clock speeds. Like, they're supposed to be more powerful than what they currently are.
So they just dropped them down.
Wow. Yeah, I guess they dropped them down for that's what people that's like a rumor that's circulating, right? Mm-hmm. That's why these cooling solutions are so big. Yeah, so I mean, I don't know if that's true. We don't know, but that's what people have been saying there. So that's expected. And again, that will be announced the 3rd of January, I believe. Like, official announcement, or so I forget we had the schedule, but officially it'll be available on the 5th of January. We'll have more information when that comes out. Now we're getting some, again, this is rumors for the RTX 4060 Ti, and the thing that I find very interesting about this is obviously with the 4070 series, they had to call it the TI first. And because we're getting this leak first, is that what they're going to do for the 4060 as well? Launch the TI first?
Who knows? Like, I'm not even going to try and like pretend like I know what their strategy is, because again, we've had TIs, we've had supers, we've had normals, like, we've had the, you know, multiple cards launching at the same day. Now we've had this staggered launch so far. I don't know what to guess, but
yeah. So this rumor or is for the 4060 Ti. It's going to have 4,300. It's going to be based off the 8106-350 GPU, and it's going to have 4,352 CUDA cores and 8 gigabytes of GDDR6 memory running at 18 gigabits per second. Now, it's not GDDR6X, so this is going to be the first model that won't have the GDDR6X. It will just have GDDR6. 128-bit memory bus gives it a bandwidth of 200 memory bandwidth of 288 gigabytes per second. TDP 220 watts. I really hope that we don't get GTX cards this time around. Like, okay, so that will be the that will be the thing that separates it. GDDR6 and GDDR6X. I hope that is the thing that separates the higher end cards from the lower end cards.
From the lower end, do you think? Maybe.
I would hope. But yeah, that's a rumor right now. Obviously, these specs change. The product names change as well. Yeah, so we'll see. But that is a current rumor for the 4060 Ti. Are you excited for the mid-range cards from NVIDIA?
I'm excited to hear about the 4070 Ti, yes. The 60, that's not a card I would consider as a purchase. I'm excited for it for other consumers because that's like the bread and butter. That's where, you know, in the next year or two, the Steam hardware, you know, survey is going to start showing that that's the, you know, card that's most populous, you know, kind of how we've seen in with previous generations of cards. So I'm excited about it from that standpoint, but not from a personal purchase standpoint.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm excited to see the mid. I always like when hardware is affordable and you can get it into more people's hands. And again, something that's a 4060 level card is probably still going to be a great 1440p card or a high frame rate.
Don't get me wrong. Like that 4060 Ti is going to be better than my 2070 Super, right? Like, yeah. So.
But if you, hey Ryan, you know what? If you wanted to go all out, we've talked about this this card before, the Galax RTX 4090 Hall of Fame. It's actually been made official. We've only seen leaked photos of it, but we knew it was coming out. Yeah. 666 watt power limit on this thing, and this is the photo that that's a smaller photo, but it comes with two of the 16 pin adapters, not just one. So you have two chances
of screwing up,
of ruining your car. It's just like eight total connections coming off this card, which is just, and if you don't have the a power supply that supports the native 16 pin.
Right.
Oh man, that's just.
I mean, it's going to be a beast of a card, but holy cow!
Yeah, it's going to be a beast.
It's just
of a
huge, card. Just huge.
Yeah, it's very, very huge. No word on pricing, but it's going to be expensive.
It's got 112 millimeter fans on it.
On the outside.
And 92, in the middle.
Yeah, and it's like I said. It's going to be expensive. It's going to be, I believe, their highest clock card to, this is crazy. So, it's
cool.
Yeah. I would love one, but, huge card. Now moving over to the laptop side of things, and we're going to see a lot of really cool laptop stuff at CES. I know for sure, because that's when I believe a lot of this stuff is going to be announced. Upcoming HP Omen 17 gaming laptop is going to feature an RTX 4090 16 gigabyte laptop GPU. So imagine having like the power. Wow. And again, it's not going to have the same power as the desktop. We know that, right? We've always known that when it comes to, but still having relative performance in a laptop.
Yeah.
Be awesome.
Yes.
I don't know how portable. I mean, it's a 17-inch laptop anyway.
17-inch laptop. It's, yeah.
But again, how portable it's going to be. I mean, especially if you unplug it. But still, I mean, that's awesome to get that much power in a laptop. So there are some different SKUs here. The highest end SKU is the CK200 2001 NQ. That comes with the Core i7 13700HX and the RTX 4090 16 gig.
And that there's a bottom picture that shows it kind of from an angle. Like, it's, yeah, definitely not a portable. Like, look how thick it is towards the back there, you know? Like, not that it's crazy thick, but it's a portable workhorse, that's for sure.
Yeah, but these are great for maybe, like, designers that have to, like, go on site or something that need that, like, performance. You know, or just somebody who is a gamer but does prefer a laptop. I mean, that's incredibly powerful, right? Old man in the chat says, warm your house with the laptop when it's plugged in. Yeah, I've had laptops that used to get like super, super warm. It's like unsafely warm they would get in the past. So that's something to look forward to. I assume we'll see a lot of those at CES in January. Talk about new games, which you don't talk about all that much because there's not a whole lot of, AAA title game news as of late. But we have two stories this week. First one, new Star Wars game will be coming out. Star Wars Jedi Survivor come out March 17th, 2023. This continues the... what was the other one? I played that game.
Played it, yeah. It was Jedi something, wasn't it?
Yeah, Star Wars. Whatever the last Star
Jedi
Wars.
Jedi Knight?
No. The last Star Wars game, which was actually really good, and I did play it a lot. One, it pushed your GPU. It was a beautiful game. And the story, like, again, we talk about all these games now, these BRs that we play. They're all multiplayer games. But the single-player version of this game was really good. So I'm really excited for this one. Again, it's going to be out March 17th. They do have a trailer, which you
Fallen
guys...
Order was the previous.
Yeah, Fallen Order. So I played that a lot. I didn't finish it, but I did play a lot. Star Wars Jedi Survivor, there is a trailer if you guys want to check it out. It looked good. I watched the trailer and everything. So would you be interested in this one at all?
Yeah.
You know, in the Star Wars?
I've played a couple Star Wars games, but I've gotten away from single player type stuff, you know.
It is kind of hard. I this game, and then I always say Assassin's Creed's were always good single player games. But yeah, we're playing too much multiplayer stuff these days, but who knows?
Yeah.
It is, like I said, it is nice to just kind of like disconnect, because like, again, especially with online games, I'll say toxic.
Oh, it can be so toxic, yes.
And like, you just want to just kind of relax and play a game. And especially if you're like a novice player, you get into, you know, we play Apex and get killed all the time. And sometimes it can be really frustrating. And like, you know, a lot of people do play games to like relax after the long day of work or whatever.
Yeah.
And you don't want to sit down and get more of
stressed out.
Stressed out. So, also on the RTS side of things, Diablo 4 pre-purchase is available. We're released June 6th, 2023. There's some images that have been released and information about it, as well as the trailer. Bunch of different versions of it. Were you a Diablo person?
I played Diablo 3. Yep.
Okay. Would you get this?
I don't know. I haven't really looked into it much. I'll look into it a little bit. I just haven't had a chance. But I enjoyed Diablo 3. I mean, it was fun. Okay. I didn't like keep going through whatever their modes were called. Was it like not prestige, but like I forget what it was. You could like just keep advancing, but it was like running the same game again. So I just played it through once and was done.
I think I did play it. I don't remember. I didn't play much of it. So I don't know. RTS is, I don't know. I'm more of an FPS type of guy. So
yeah.
But yeah, those are two game things. So pretty, like, again, pretty big AAA titles that will be coming out. So that's definitely exciting. Talking about what we have coming up next week, I'll be taking a look at a case. This is the Silverstone SATA Q1, which is their quiet case. So we, and again, it's very plain, very super plain case, but I haven't done a quiet case in so long. Again, we've gotten away from these big old, you know, we've gotten away from like this type of case, and we have RGB lighting, we have all this other stuff. But sometimes, especially if you have louder fans or louder, you know, hardware, you want a case that's super, super quiet, especially if you're like in an office kind of environment. Yep. So this is one of the most quiet cases I think that has come out all year. So again, nothing
sound
to really
dampening materials in them really helps.
Yeah, so this is a sound dampening material in it. Yeah, just made to really just for sound dampening. That's kind of what it's about. So I will go ahead and be telling you guys about that next week, and also taking a look at a keyboard that you might be interested in, Ryan.
I saw this.
Yeah, so this is the ASIO Cascade 98, which is sort of like, it's the full size version of, what was it, the Cascade? What was the smaller one
Cascade
called?
It was just the Cascade.
Okay, just the Cascade. The Cascade was 10 keyless, right?
I don't know. It's sitting right over here.
I do. It's mine sitting over there as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, so their original Cascade was extremely popular. And now they have a Cascade 98, which gives you, for a lot of people, you miss that number pad. So it's a full size. So it does give you the number pad. Really great looking keycaps, great feel. There is a slim version, and I believe there's a non-slim version. Yeah, so mine has the, so you can see the, with the full size keycaps and then the slim. Yeah, so slim is the one that I have, which I actually really do like. So I'm excited to take a look at that. Now, this is currently on Kickstarter right now. So if you are interested right now, there are 14 days left. If you want to get in on it on the Kickstarter, you did the Kickstarter for the original. Yeah, and you did get the product. Because if people there has been some, especially in, you know, over the... Mm. I would say the past couple of years, there has been some Kickstarters that people didn't get, and it kind of put a bad rap on on Kickstarter. But you did
crowdfunding in general.
Did do the Kickstarter for that. So ASIO is a company that's going to get you the product. So keep that in mind. So we'll have that stuff for you next week in the chat. Old man said Diablo for limited edition collector's box for 100 doesn't even come with the game.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Let me bring the thing back up. Let's see what it says. Ultimate edition. Oh, I don't see the. I see a standard deluxe and an ultimate. I don't know. Oh, just the box.
That's dumb. That's so crazy.
So the box comes, it says the 9666. So you can see they used the 666 for the devil. It includes a double-sided electric candle of creation, a cloth map of sanctuary, an occult mouse pad, a pin of the Horridrim, two matte fine art prints, and a Diablo for collector's edition art book. I mean, that's a lot of stuff, but still, for it not to come with the game, right?
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
So as we come to the end here, we talk about tech. Anything else? If you guys have any questions in the chat, Ryan, did you do anything tech related this past week?
Don't think so. No, didn't have time this weekend to do anything to the build. I mean, I played. New build's running great.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's always, I mean, that's always a plus, right?
Yes, when your new build actually works.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, same thing. I'm just working on reviews. Working on reviews over here, getting stuff ready for CES. I know I believe we talked about, but we will be at CES in January. Be out there for a whole week. So we will have...
It's coming up quick, too.
It is coming up quick. So I'm, like, making sure we have everything. We're bringing, like, a full podcast studio. Even though we're not going to be doing... We might do one podcast from Vegas, but we're going to be doing our content sort of like a podcast. So we'll be... Ryan and I will be in the same room talking, and then we'll splice in stuff. So we'll have a lot of content, but I'm excited for that. Lots of cool stuff. I've been doing a bunch of online pre-briefings with companies. So I've already seen a lot of the stuff that's going to be announced, and there's some really cool stuff this year. So stuff that you guys should definitely be excited about that. Jim in the chat said his build is complete. Still need to put the cooler in. So, well, that's good, Jim. Yeah, get that cooler in and get that thing running. We want to see how all that turns out
for you. I had missed the previous week's Home Gadget Geeks. So Jim had Mike Wieger back on, who
was nice. The
previous co-host. And Jim was saying that I had, sent a cooler to him. And Mike hopped in and was like, yeah, Ryan sent me one too. That guy's he called me the water cooling drug dealer.
You do have a lot of AIO. I mean, it's the same thing. So I have I have a storage unit filled with computer cases because I review so many computer cases.
And you got rid of them before you moved too. Like I remember you were working to get rid of them.
I got rid of, I gave away 15 computer cases, I think.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah, because when I was moving, I was like, oh, I'm not taking, if there's no point in taking all this stuff with me. You know what I mean? I kept some of the good ones. Yep. There are some computer cases that I've had for years that are special editions and things like that I keep. But a lot of the computer cases that we review that I end up just giving them away a lot of times. And a lot of times, when friends are doing builds, I'll just give them a case. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Old man in the chat said, imagine getting the limited edition for Christmas because your family knows you're such a huge Diablo fan, only for it not to come with the game. Yeah, that... Again, there's all these things that are for consumers, just makes things more difficult, I would say.
Yep.
And then Jim in the chat says the Quest 2 comes out Friday. So
he did decide on it. I know he was contemplating VR, what Oculus to get, Quest.
Yeah,
like the last podcast I listened to, he was kind of leaning that way. It sounded like.
Nice. I still just VR is just not my thing.
I'm
one of those people that's really weary though about my surroundings. So I don't having something that covers my face.
Even when I'm the only one home or anything like that, I'm always every now and then I'm nobody's here.
I don't know what it is. I'm in my bed sleeping and I hear something. I'm who's here? You know what I mean? And there's been times where we've been doing this podcast and again, I have my headphones on and I hear something.
And you've heard something. Yeah.
I'm wait, is somebody here? You know what I mean? So it's. But yeah, that's awesome, Jim. Excited to hear your thoughts on VR and everything like that. We are going to be getting out of here, and Ryan will be running the stream for Twitch. So we're going to be playing some Apex Legends. I believe, is the winter mode still going on?
Yeah, I think so. We might warm up with that. I don't know. We'll see.
That's a lot of fun. See how we do.
Free games. We didn't task Old Man with this tonight, but okay. Right now, free games are Saints Row 4 Reelected. Is free in the Epic Game Store. Nice. And then Wildcat Gun Machine is free.
Nice. Always good.
There's a mystery game unlocking in 13 hours. So nice. Saints Row, have you ever played any of those?
I think I played the first one.
I spent 2 hours in the character creation settings at one point with me and a buddy, and we were on Discord talking to each other and just tweaking our characters because you can tweak their voice and their it's insane the amount of stuff you could do, and we were just cracking up just making these crazy characters.
I think I played
5 minutes of it,
because wasn't there something, was it Saints Row? I believe if you bought Saints Row you got into the pre-order for another game. I think it was on Xbox. Maybe it was Halo. I don't remember, but I think talk about games. We put this on our social media earlier, but this is, I don't know. Let's see if I can make this a little bit bigger. It says, play your backlog?
Definitely.
Nah, buy more Steam games.
Yes.
So, guys, we are going to get out of here. Thanks, everybody, for stopping in on the live chat. That, of course, is Old Man Nelson, Jim in the chat there as well. Good to see you guys. And, of course, hopefully see you guys next week as well. We have, is next week Christmas?
Next weekend is Christmas. Yeah, next Sunday.
Oh, man. You're right. Yeah. CES is coming up. That's crazy.
It's creepy. Like, 2.5 weeks will be
that's doing wild. It. Yeah, so. All right, guys. Well, again, we are going to jump over to Twitch, twitch.tv / ThinkComputers to get over there. And we will see everybody next week.